In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. So this parable in today's gospel is very rich in spiritual instruction for us. And of course, the Lord tells us very clearly what happens to these wicked husbandmen who mistreated and even killed God's servants and his own son. Of course, they ended up being destroyed and losing everything. However, it would be an interesting question to ask, what would have happened if the husbandmen had just simply been obedient and done what the Lord of the vineyard asked and returned him the fruits as was right? Well, St. Theophylact explains this parable when he says that the householder in the parable is the Lord, who in his love for men calls himself a man. And the vineyard is the Jewish people planted by God in the land of promise. The hedge is the law, which prevented them from mixing with the Gentiles. The wine press is the altar, and the tower is the temple. And the husbandmen are the teachers of the people, the Pharisees and the scribes. Our Holy Fathers also tell us that the servants who were sent to receive the fruits of the vineyard were the prophets, and they were beaten and killed and stoned, and the Son is, of course, Jesus Christ, who they took outside of the city of Jerusalem and killed. And when Jesus asks them what the Lord of that vineyard will do to those wicked husbandmen, they say he will miserably destroy those wicked men, let out his vineyard to other husbandmen, which shall render him the fruits in their seasons. Now the nation of Israel was called to be God's chosen people, and they were given the law and the prophets as their guide. However, while some of the Jewish people gladly received Christ and followed him, many of the Jewish leaders and people at that time abdicated their responsibility, and so the Lord called the Gentiles to take their place as the new chosen people of God. And so, as Orthodox Christians, we have now inherited this legacy to care for this vineyard and to be examples of Christian virtue for others to follow. So when it talks about the fruits, we have to understand we're not just asked to, you know, give the Lord our fruits and vegetables or something. You know, we're talking about spiritual fruits. And the spiritual fruits are, according to the scriptures and the Holy Fathers, the virtues. In Galatians chapter 5, 22 and 23, St. Paul says, "The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance." Well, today there's a lot of confusion about the distinction between morality on the one hand and virtue on the other hand. Sometimes people think of them as really being the same thing. And in the book, The Law of God, Father Seraphim Slobodskoy contrasts the Ten Commandments of the Law in the Old Testament and with the nine Beatitudes in the New Testament. And he points out how the Ten Commandments are restricted to prohibiting those acts which would be sinful. You know, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not kill, you know, that kind of thing. While the Beatitudes explain to us how we may attain Christian perfection or grace. And this is where St. Seraphim of Sarov's once said that the true aim of our Christian life consists in the acquisition of the Holy Spirit of God. And he goes on to say that fasts, vigils, prayers, and almsgiving, and every good deed done for Christ's sake are the means for acquiring the Spirit of God. Only the good deed done for Christ's sake brings us the fruits of the Holy Spirit. So a moral person is someone who merely follows the Ten Commandments and refrains from murder, adultery, idolatry, lying, covetousness, and so forth. And we just had recently the gospel about the rich young man who asked what he should do to inherit eternal life. And, you know, Christ says, well, you know the commandments, you know, thou shalt not kill and thou shalt not commit adultery. And the rich young man says, well, I've kept all these commandments from my youth. And yet, when Christ told him to sell all that he had and give to the poor and come and follow him, he went away sorrowful, for he had many possessions. Now, had the rich young man done what Christ had told him to do, he would have acquired the fruits of the Spirit, you know, in other words, the virtues. And therefore, in acquiring the Holy Spirit, he would have inherited eternal life. St. Nikolai Vlimirovich lists seven of the primary virtues and how they oppose the seven main sinful passions. He says, humility is the opposite of pride. Charity is the opposite of avarice. Chastity is the opposite of lust. Benevolence is the opposite of envy. Temperance is the, or moderation, is the opposite of gluttony. Patience and meekness is the opposition to anger, and fortitude is in opposition of desperation. So the nine Beatitudes that we sing every Sunday and that we've read many times give us really the essence of the virtues. To name just a few examples, when Christ says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit," this refers to the virtue of humility or spiritual lowliness. When he says, "Blessed are the meek," this refers to the virtues of peacefulness and Christian love, as when Christ prayed on the cross for his enemies. When he says, "Blessed are the pure in heart," this refers to the virtues of temperance and chastity. Purity of heart requires suppression of unclean thoughts, and the practice of fasting helps us overcome gluttony. The book, The Ladder of Divine Ascent by St. John Climacus, which we honor every year on the fourth Sunday of Great Lent, expands upon these Beatitudes and shows us how to overcome the passions and acquire the virtues with God's help and the help of the Holy Church. So, brothers and sisters, Christ is calling us to be good husbandmen, as it were, and to bring forth spiritual fruits and to offer those to him in their season. And as we prepare to begin a new church year, let us work together and pray for one another that our church will become a fruitful vineyard in the kingdom of our Lord. Glory be to our God.